At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Hey, welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
Hi! Welcome back to the bunker for a special episode. It's number 72. Can you believe it? We made it. This is Feeling Good with Duddy, the show that points at the world, laughs hysterically, points in the mirror, laughs hysterically. I think you're on to us. We're perfectly even and fair, bipartisan all the way. Yeah, we've got a full show today, a big one. We've got a You Should Be Shot, a local radio review, a This Song Sucks is back and it's going to be great. And we have a scary zone, and we have a special guest in studio who we'll introduce you to quite soon here. Firstly and foremostly, I'm Jake B., a barber here in Southern California. Let me tell you about my brother who sits next to me, the namesake of this show, guitar player, singer of the Dirty Heads. You know him, you love him, Duddy B.
What is happening? That is right. We are back, episode 72, Feeling Good with Duddy. So happy to be here. And Jake, I'm so happy about all the reviews coming in as well. I can't thank you guys enough. We've been seeing all the, you know, very kind comments, and the ratings are going up. It helps so much, guys. It really does help the show get noticed. It helps us climb those charts. So thank you guys so much. And if you're listening and you haven't yet, especially on Apple Podcasts, if you're listening on there, give us a rating, write a review. It really does help the show. If you're on Spotify, I believe you can give it a follow or a thumbs up. Whatever you're listening on, hook it up. Thank you, guys. It does help the show get noticed. And if you're listening and you enjoy the show and you want twice as many episodes every month, you can head over to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/feelinggoodwithduddy. And you will get an extra bonus episode every Monday and lots of other fun things going on over there as well. So go on over to our Patreon and check it out. Other than that, thank you guys so much for listening, and we love you guys.
Yes, you're very nice on Apple. They say a lot of nice things about
lots
us.
Lots of nice things.
On Facebook and stuff, horrifying shit, but thank you for all the lies, apparently, you're saying about us on Apple Podcast. What's up with Dirty Heads, dude? I walked into the bunker for the listeners, and all the real equipment is set up now. I mean, it's not an acoustic set anymore, guys. We got full drum sets, everything I'm looking at. So you guys are ready for some stuff.
We are ready. Yeah, we have our first drive-in shows this weekend, Friday and Saturday, in Del Mar and Ventura, California. Very excited also slash very just intrigued to see how this all plays out, you know? And it's like, we had our first rehearsal the other day with all the equipment set up, you know? And it was like, we've been, for months and months and months, you guys know, doing the acoustic live streams, sitting down, acoustic guitar, very quiet and nice. And now I have to get up, I have to stand up. It's like, that's how lazy I've gotten, right? And then, and you guys know, if you've seen us live, our drummer, Matt, Our drummer Matt hits the fucking drum so damn hard. So it's just like, oh my God, I forgot. But it's awesome.
On a stage, you're further away from Matty. Yes. In practice, you're sitting on the fucking bass drum. Yeah. So there's really nowhere to hide in the bunker. I mean, you're going to get crushed with that
drum.
It's
like anything. Like, we got soft.
You guys got soft.
It was like, all of a sudden, it was loud. I was like, ouchie.
Ooh. I said it before. You guys have been playing in sandals. You have to put shoes on now.
Yeah,
it's time to put shoes on. It's real. Yeah, you guys are all standing. John stuff is at stand-up level, well, everything.
Man, but it did. It felt good, honestly, to plug into the amp and hit some pedals. And it was fun. And I'm really looking forward to these shows, and I hope you guys are too. I want to say that they're both sold out, or if not very close to. So thank you guys for
it'll be
picking
interesting.
Those tickets
because people will be far away from you guys and spread out, so that'll be cool. But also these shows are pretty close to us. Maybe an hour and a half to each. So are you guys just going to drive separately?
No, you know what? Found out because that's a lot. We're doing two shows a day.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, okay. I didn't
know
that.
Yeah. So to do two shows a day and then after the second show, like drive home that far, that's a long day. So we're just getting a bus for those two. And it's funny though. I'm only going to sleep on the bus for one day.
Yeah.
Because the second night we'll play the show and the bus will just drive us home and we'll get out and I'll be in my house. But so one day, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, it's gonna be a fun day.
Oh man, I miss that. It's like, that's your family. I spend more time with them than anyone really, you know, besides like my actual immediate family. So it's like we did that every day, not every day, but
half the days of the year,
with these guys, you know, in a bus traveling around and did that for 15 to 18 years now. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope. You're like, whoa, that's weird.
Back in a bus.
It was really awesome at first, but it's been so long now. It's like, dude, what I would do for just a day off in the middle of fucking nowhere right now. Mm-hmm. You have a day off in the middle of nowhere and you're like, why couldn't we have gone to a city or something on our day off? Right now you're like, that sounds great. I'll do anything.
Yeah, play Mario Kart, take some bongies.
Whatever, sounds great.
Bummer.
And nothing is confirmed or set in stone as of now, but it does look like in the horizon there is a whole bunch more drive-in shows coming and east to west coast, all over the country. So, I hope that they all get booked pretty soon here because we're ready to get out.
That's right.
Ready to get out and do it. We do have more new music coming out, in the future. And speaking of new music, Jake, I did that song I told you guys about with Through the Roots.
Yes.
I did a track with them for their new album, and that song will be coming out this Friday.
Awesome. So yep. 2 days after this show
drops.
2 days
after this drops, that will be coming out. At least that's the last I heard. If I'm wrong, sorry. But so that's exciting as well. And Jake, also this weekend, I ran across the situation where I realized that another person needs to be shot.
Oh, here it comes, dude. My favorite new thing. You should be shot.
Same situation, too. Out eating lunch with my family.
A lot of eating with your family.
Yeah.
People needing to be shot. All right, let's go.
So we're out and we're having a nice lunch and it's quiet. And you know how it is right now too. It's like where we live, they just opened up restaurants to inside again.
Okay.
These tables are a little more spread out. So there's less people in there, but they're still not far from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, we're eating. And so there's less people in here. So it's really quiet. It's pretty quiet in there. And there's a fucking family sitting not far from us, quiet lunch, and the parents are talking, and the two kids, both playing video games on their phones. Fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. My kids do that sometimes too, and you're like, good, now we can have some time to talk, and the kid's going to stare at his phone for a little bit. Sometimes you need to do that.
Yeah.
There's two things that need to happen if you're going to allow this to happen. The volume either has to be all the way down or you must have headphones on.
So it's another volume infraction.
I just don't understand the thought process behind how do you not hear that and realize, other people are probably annoyed by, two different games going on. Ching, ching, boom, 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 boom. Coins and things being shot and killed and games starting and music and like, what the fuck?
So last week we introduced everyone to a Robbie. This was the guy that pulls up next to everyone eating on the patio with his car stereo bumping so loud and F-bombs and N-words coming out of the windows. now we've got a child version of the same type of audio attack, except it's video games at the table turned up to 11. I hate this. They're on equal par with the Robbies, and I deal with it in the barber shop as well. When these kids cannot sit in a barber chair anymore without an iPad or a thing and a video game or a cartoon, and their parents always have it turned to 11, despite what every single person on the planet around them has to do.
It's insane to me, Jake.
And what did you do, Daddy?
I was trying to kind of make little comments, you know, so that maybe they would hear it. And just like, I mean, I would just feel that. Because you could tell every other group there was like looking over at them like, are you kidding me? You're just going to allow this to happen? Like, you know, it was insane that, and they just let it go. They just let it go on. And what kind of bummed me out too is that like the waitress would go over there and like, and I was hoping the waitress would be like, hey, can you guys, like, no, they just, the whole fucking meal. And I should have said something.
That's the waitress's job.
But my kids were there, so I didn't want to like make a scene.
No, dude.
So I was like, whatever.
So it's the parent's job, obviously.
Yes.
But then if the parent fails, it's the waitress's job or the waiter. You got to do what you got
to
do.
A manager to be like, hey, you know, we can't have you guys just full volume playing video games
so
in here.
Obviously, the children shouldn't be shot, but the parents, Daddy.
No, they don't know better.
The
They're
parents
children.
Should be shot.
The parents
need to be shot.
Should be shot.
And again, on You Should Be Shot, it's where nobody needs to die.
I don't want to kill their parents. And the kids would not have parents.
Right.
I don't want that.
An injury in the hand. You know, you're shot in the leg and not an artery. We're aiming for spots that it's like you need to learn and know.
Yeah.
And it's beyond bringing it up. You're a scourge of society, these parents.
Yes.
They need to be shot so that they know. And then examples need to be made. So
yes, I think from now on, we're going to judge the level of how much you should be shot. And I will let you know where you should be shot and with what type of gun.
Yes. For this type of infraction, you should absolutely be shot. I will say in the foot. I want you to kind of limp forever. That's the level of deservedness. So that's a big one. I will go for like the calf muscle, which will maybe make you never be able to really jump good again off that.
Like,
if you're the type of parent that then also hovers. Okay, so here's my problem at the barbershop. What's worse, the kid playing the video game or watching the cartoons at full volume, or the kid doing that while crying in a barber chair while the parent then hovers telling the kid not to cry?
Oh, yeah.
Now you've got a three tier. It's the barber and then the cartoons and then the mom, little Johnny, you know, please look up and no crying, the train on the thing. And then it's a triple thing. It's like when you walk by an apartment and a dog barks, but what's worse, the dog barking or the dog barking and the owner going, shh, don't bark, even though the dog will bark forever till the dog dies. This dog barks.
Yes.
So we don't need the owner then also telling the dog to stop barking.
Yes.
That's a double thing. So if you add the extra thing as a parent, I then shoot you in the calf muscle, maiming you for life from any athletic kind of exertion on that leg.
Okay,
I think
so we're
fair.
Saying calf muscle and not with anything crazy, like maybe like a 22.
Yeah, dude, this isn't a 44 Magnum. We're not like rendering you fully useless. A gimp of sorts.
Okay, and then in this bucket, I'm going to throw the same person because I can't do a whole nother episode on just this because it just falls into the same category. This person does the same thing, and they should also be shot, but the I'm going to have a conversation on speakerphone out in public. Holy shit, Jake.
It's really mainly noise infractions that we're doing so far on the show.
And this is a double banger because this person should be shot. And this is the person who does the in public speakerphone. He walks around and talks like this, Jake.
Hey, and he. I've never seen a she.
It's a he, and it's the
strictly
phone.
A male.
You're talking into where you plug your charger in or your headphones.
Yes.
The screen is facing the sky.
Yes.
You're talking into where you charge your phone.
Yep.
It's on speakerphone, and you're usually saying things like, hey, baby, what's up, babe? Oh, yeah, baby, I'll go into the club tonight and go, yeah, well, DJ Robbie's going to be spinning. And that's you. And you should also be shot, but...
Yeah, you're never talking to your child like, honey, well, it's going to be okay. Kids are mean.
No.
And you are not what they say. You know, we love you. It's never that. It's always that we'll meet you later and sex will ensue. Yeah, so all of those people should be shot. I think we all can agree, right, Daddy?
And
next time you see them in public.
Man.
Yeah. Shame them. Pow. Shame them. Don't do what Duddy did and try to barely whisper. Just shame them loudly.
Shame them loudly.
Tell on them.
Film them and send the video to us.
There it is. Film them and let's start a page and a hashtag and we'll get rid of it never and we'll do a 5K. They should all be shot, right, Duddy?
Shot.
But we have someone right here on the set right now, Duddy, who should not be shot.
That's right. Let's bring him on.
That's right. So I'm going to introduce you guys to our guest. Now, this guest is a good friend of our very own Gentle Giant, and we've been trying to get him on the show for a while. He's a drummer. He's playing drums for Sum 41. You guys all know Sum 41. He's got his own solo album coming out, It's My War. We have on the show Frank Zumo. What's up? Welcome to the show. Yeah.
Can I just say, it's so nice to actually do something in person.
Oh, right?
I've literally for the past 6-7 months been doing so many fucking interviews on Zoom and press because no one is, you know, doing things in person. So it's just so nice to actually have this, you know, connection, hang, to not watch it back later and you're hearing all the fucking glitched, you know, delays and all of that. Like, literally, I did an interview and went on a whole rant, and then I pick up my phone, they're like, we didn't hear anything you said. I was like,
We've done a few Zooms, and it is harder to flow because you do hear those glitches, and I was like, there's a weird thing where when you get silent, I think the Zoom turns your mic off and then turns it back on when you start talking, so you miss a little bit of emotion in the Zooms.
And just juggling, you know, being home with two kids and trying to make the house quiet or arrange times that they could be outside. Like, it's just, it's so nice to do something in person. And to come from the valley to Orange County normally would take at this hour 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
There was no traffic. It
That's
took
amazing.
An hour and 2 minutes like it was supposed to take.
That's
like,
amazing.
Which is another great thing.
Yeah.
And like the other great thing is to be in a room where there's fucking instruments plugged in and like mics and drums and shit. Like it just, it's something we miss, which is awesome that you're getting to go do that again. And, you know, it's just, it's all about pivoting in these times. That's
100%.
We have to. We're living in a new world, and if we want to do what we want to do, this is the time to pivot instead of just like you know, sitting on the couch waiting for your manager to call and be like, okay, the world's open again, you can tour again. It's like, no, fuck no. We want to go do our art. This is what we need. You know, yes, it's been amazing to have this incredible quality family time and just time, you know, personal time and just time to projects and just all this shit, but it's something that's been part of us our whole lives.
Totally.
And to just have it ripped away from you, it's a big void missing. So
you were talking to us before with Sum 41, I believe, right? You had like 3 tours lined up or something.
We were
that
out,
all
yeah.
just got you were flying.
I was about to fly
out
to Mexico. And got sent home. We were booked out the rest of this year. We were in the middle of a world tour new album cycle, and we had been out for a year already. And the longest break I had was 9 days for Christmas. I literally flew home from Christmas radio shows on Christmas Eve. Then on January 2nd, I was off to Asia and Europe for 5 weeks, which is a long time to be away from family and stuff, which, you know.
With a 2 and a 5-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Boys,
yeah.
I mean,
those are important years that go
really
quick. They go real quick.
So it is weird. Duddy's talked about it a bunch too. Yeah, it's a blessing, of course, because you guys have all gotten to have a lot of time with your kids. And even me as a barber, I got shut down and spent a lot of time with my 1.5-year-old. So, but now you're itching. Like you guys are both itching to get back. Well, we know Duddy's going to go do some driving stuff. When are you playing drums again with Sum 41? I mean, with your album self-titled, like with your personal music that's coming out, I mean, I don't know if you have a band or a tour or if you're just releasing it on your own to get it out.
Yeah, so with Sum 41, we're just, as of now, we're on break.
Full hiatus.
Our singer just had his first baby, so it's great for him to really get the dad thing down and have that time.
And they're all in Canada and you're here, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's in LA with me.
Okay.
The rest of the band's in Canada and New York. But so as of right now on our calendar, Slam Dunk Festival in UK is the first thing back in May. We'll see if that's going to happen. Who the fuck knows? But it was kind of a perfect time to put out a solo record. And because of this whole pandemic, you know, without it, I wouldn't have found the record label and, you know, had the real time to really, because I made this EP over the course of the last year, which shouldn't take that long, but with the amount of touring
and
family time, you know, so now to be able to really focus, and my record's actually coming out Friday.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
We dropped the single last week. It's a three song EP. Music video drop this week, and the EP will be out officially on Friday, the 25th. So it's a great time to really dive in and give this my full attention. And like, as far as playing live, it's what you've been doing, live streaming.
Yep.
So I've, you know, right when this whole thing happened, I was booked for Kevin Lyman from the Warped Tour. He did a big mental health awareness festival. It was going to be downtown LA, huge lineup. And
yeah, I heard about this.
Then they shut down, you know, concerts. But Kevin's like, we have to still do this because mental health is at an all-time risk now.
Yeah.
So we're going to do it from home. And I was just like, I can't do this from home properly. And I also don't want to represent myself that way in the solo project. And like, enough of seeing everybody on their couch singing, playing acoustic. Like Chris Martin was on the show. That's rad because you don't get to see Chris Martin in sweatpants on his couch playing acoustic. That's cool. For me, it's like, I didn't want to do that. So I called my buddy who does all the big EDM shit. And I'm like, bro, how do I make this look like an arena show? And he's like, literally come into my buddy's warehouse. They do all the production shit. Literally, we'll clear a wall. We'll set up the video screens, the lighting, the sound. I brought in Gentle Giant.
Yes.
He fucking shot the whole thing, edited it. We put it up. And it also helped me build my solo live show because my whole team, we designed the show, like, and they all weren't even there. I'm firing it all through Ableton, timecode, and MIDI. So I was able to have all the visuals and lighting all on time and shit, but I was able to learn this technology with them, which was rad. And then now fast forward to, okay, I need to do some performance shit for the solo record. There, I got approached to do something that's going to be coming up soon. And I went in and I was like, okay, we did something pretty epic last time. How the fuck do we top it? Because I'm a one-man show. I want to make it exciting. And, you know, the solo record is full-on songs. It's not a drum, you know, fucking solo album. It's none of that. It's real songs with a different singer, different songwriter, different producer in every song.
Oh, okay,
and it's
cool.
Combining my love of electronic music, rock music, pop music. It's all kind of in there. And my buddy figured out all the kind of giants of the production industry, put it together a place where you can do these events. And we were literally able to take my drums and put them 12 feet up in the air on a riser.
That's
and
rad.
Add, you know, lasers and all this sick shit. And it's the first time I've really hit drums that hard. Mm-hmm. Had the production, had like with the amount of crew people in the room, you could have filled like the Viper room. And the emotion that came over me, it was beyond therapeutic. Like I couldn't help but smile and scream at the same time because it's something that I didn't realize I was missing so fucking much that I really need. So I'm grateful that I had that moment. But now I'm like, okay, I need to start doing something.
You took the Dirty Heads approach, which it's like you said, it was cool right away to see everyone on their couch. And everyone went, all right, we're going to go lo-fi. Mm-hmm. All the talk show hosts said, we're not going to cut our hair. We're going to grow our beards out and do our shows from home. And it was all part of this COVID thing. But then the Dirty Heads kind of realized early on, okay, everyone's doing the living room thing. Let's make an actual production out of our live stream. So it's worth, you know, you're putting the same attention into the live stream that you wouldn't do a live show. And you kind of took that
same approach mentally. It's not replacing, there's nothing like going to that live show and that release. It's a community. People go there, they leave all their problems at the fucking door. And, you know, obviously we hope that on a Friday night, you know, their family and get together, crack some beers, watch that concert with that production value. But it's as, you know, I guess in the world we live in now, it's as close as you can get. Yeah. But like, obviously you're starting to see like, you know, cool bands start doing the drive-through shows because like we're not making any progress like for us to do what we need to do. So it's like, everyone's like, we need to make some shit happen.
Gotta
and
figure
some
something
stuff
out. I always laugh with Duddy. I'm like, the drive-in is like, everyone, it seems like an archaic thing, the drive-in, and now it is the future of like live shows, at least for the
time
immediate
being.
Future, you know? How crazy, what a dinosaur,
it's like obviously,
they dusted it off, and it's ready, it's back.
Yeah. Obviously, eventually we'll get back out there, but for now, you gotta just adjust with the times, and if that's all we can do, then that's all we can do.
So before we get into, we got a bunch of segments and we're going to keep cranking. Just tell everyone, because you just mentioned that, you know, this episode will come out on Wednesday. Your album is going to come out on Friday. Tell everyone where they can find it, where they can listen. Just give yourself a nice
digitally,
plug.
This record's called It's My War. It'll three songs. It'll be out, you know, on every streaming platform. And the single, Edge of the Earth, is out now. We dropped that like on Alternative Press exclusively last week,
nice.
Which was cool. We kind of just dropped it on everybody, and there'll be something special coming out actually on Wednesday when the show comes out too. So,
oh, that's yeah, awesome. Perfect.
I'm on, and I got the label is Bite This, which is Jaws. He's a DJ. It's on his label, which they're mainly until this point they've been a DJ electronic based dance label, and you know it's been cool to work with them as they're pivoting now to do other stuff and to kind of be at the head of this new, yeah. you know, way they're going. And it's been awesome, like working with a label who thinks differently than your traditional rock labels. And, you know, it's fun. It's been a great experience. And it's just, I was out doing solo shows for all these different workshops around the world to inspire kids. And like emo nights are really big. I was doing emo night shows. Like me and Adrian from No Doubt did one in Dallas. We set up in the middle of the Bomb Factory venue with yeah. a B stage and had the whole audience surround us, and we just built a DJ mix and the both of us were drumming at the same time. And it was, the response we were getting was amazing. And I'm like, I'm not even doing my own music.
Yeah.
And like, I've always wanted to collaborate with other artists. I'm going to just go for it and make this like a really positive, you know, inspiring kind of thing. And it's been fun, you know, even like the music video was something that, you know, I was like, everything right now is so heavy, which, you know, I'm so stoked. People like you guys and that are doing these podcasts that are fun. It's just taking you away from how dark and negative social media and the internet has mm-hmm. become in these times. You know, I was like, if people are scrolling through and they're going to look at my shit, like my goal is to make them smile for the day. So I want to yes. do something that's
perfect
for the music video, cinematic and beautiful, why I moved to California, what this project is about. And like, also I wanted to, you know, do something that was fear-based too. You know, a couple years ago, my first podcast I ever actually did was for Gabby Reese. She's married to Laird Hamilton, the big wave surfer.
Yeah, yeah. She's
and
a
she's
volleyball
an Olympic
volleyball
player.
Volleyball
yeah. player. I got, this is a, another, like, I got a heads up about this podcast. They're like, yo, just a heads up. It's a comedy one.
Yeah.
Talking about shit in your pants. I was like, fucking awesome. Like, enough with the heavy, like, shit.
I love that that's what people say yeah, about us. You're yeah. gonna, they're going to want to know if you've shit yourself. All
I
right.
I was like, bring it on. Awesome. Yeah, morning yeah. coffee and shit pants story. Let's go. But, I got a call thing like, yo, this is Gabby Reese and Neil Strauss, who wrote the Motley Crue Dirt, notorious okay. book. It's their podcast called The Truth Barrel. And you're going to be in board shorts in a fucking sauna that's 220 degrees just talking about real shit. Like, are you cool with doing this? I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So
great.
I went and it changed my life because I never realized, you know, us as musicians, we're athletes. Especially me playing fucking Sum 41 music, man, that oh. fast, that
especially
all
drummers,
fast and
oh
all hard.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'm like, after I talked to her and sat with her afterwards and talked about supplements and vitamins and like, it changed my life. And they've, her and her husband have kind of been my life coaches in a sense where they've helped me, you know, with training, with just how I treat my body, like all the stuff. And the thing they created was XPT. It's actual pool training. What you do on land with weights and shit in the pool,
yeah.
underwater and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Laird Hamilton's a famous, for anyone who doesn't know, he's a famous big wave surfer. And yeah, he is the guy who you've probably seen before on TV, like grabbing huge boulders and running around on yeah. the bottom of the ocean. They're training their lungs, you know?
Yeah.
These guys will be held underwater for fucking 30, 40 seconds getting thrashed around at a time.
Insane and, shit, which is
insane
scary
shit.
As fuck. And yeah. I finally did it and it was life changing. Not only is it, you know, overcoming fear, working with fear, learning, you know, I didn't learn how to breathe properly until this pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Like, mm-hmm. learning all this shit that's changed my life and helps me do my job better. And all this solo music was inspired through all, you know, that those experiences. And I was like, I'm going to fucking drown my drums at the bottom of their pool and drum underwater for this video because visually it'll be beautiful, but yeah. it's also scary as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to work. And we did it, and it worked, and it came
oh,
out looking amazing.
That's right.
So
I haven't even seen that. I want to see that.
Yeah, that'll be
that's
out.
Awesome.
That'll be out this week.
Oh, okay, perfect. Oh, yeah,
is, and why. Laird's got a cameo in it too,
oh,
which is
nice
rad.
One. Sweet.
So yeah, they've been a part of this whole, you know, journey, which is awesome.
So that's you cool, learned man. How to breathe underwater and became a better person being on their show, and I think we might make you a worse person. That is well, yeah. unfortunately, you'll have to go back on their show yeah. just to get okay. back to where you were 2 hours ago before you walked into this bunker. So that's all awesome. And that all fits perfectly in with the feel good shit. So, you know, you took this time with a Sum 41 isn't playing, and you took a chance to get your stuff out there, just like Duddy and I in this podcast. Really, yep. We took this show back for ourselves because of this COVID time. Yep. And I want to take something back for the people too, Duddy.
It's, I could only imagine.
It's local radio. I feel this is perfect because we have two guys that have been able to hear music that they've done on the radio and will be able to hear music in the future that they're doing on the radio.
Well, maybe not after this segment.
Maybe not after this segment. Yeah, you guys might be both very much worse off after this show, but it's all right. It'll be fun while we do it. This is everyone's favorite local radio review. I've brought you everything I can bring you about K-Rock, our local station. So many infractions, right? The two-minute promise, where they continue to promise that they're only going to do 2 minutes of commercials, and they're back, but they do another one every 5 minutes in between Red Hot Chili Pepper songs. That's right. I started the Red Hot 182 game, where turn on K-Rock at any given time of the day, 86% chance you're going to hear Red Hot Chili Peppers or Blink 182. It's 86% of the time, 100% of the time. I'm always right. You love it. It's your favorite. I've also taken a couple stabs at the morning show, if you can call it that, guys, and I'll get into that today. That's right. This is the local radio review. This is 106.7 KROQ here in Southern California. It's K-Rock. We love K-Rock. They play Sum 41. They play the Dirty Heads. They even played my band, and I don't even think we deserved it. So I love them on one hand, and when it comes to radio stations, they're the best, but they're also shit, and I'll tell you why. The morning show's under attack today. This is Stryker and Klein. Stryker is a nice, nice guy. He personally played my band's music and gave it a try. It didn't happen. That's not his fault. It's our fault. Song was weird. But anyway, Stryker, God bless you for playing my band. So I love you. And now here's the deal. He's not funny. There's nothing that'll make him funny. I feel like if I hung out with Stryker and Klein at a bar, I would have a good time. They seem like good dudes. I like them. They can't be funny on the radio, and it's not their fault. It's the program director of the morning show. Let me tell you what a morning show is, guys, or what it should be. We're doing a morning show here. We're having fun. We're saying things that excite you. You can't wait to hear what we say next, because who the fuck knows at this point, right? That's why you love this show. Let me tell you about the experience I had this morning when I turned on the snake wagon. That's my van. And I drove it on over to the bunker. It's a 10-minute drive, okay? 10-minute drive. I listened to the morning show, Stryker and Klein, and I heard the cycle twice. Let me introduce you to the cycle. It's the two-minute promise. Just 2 minutes. 2 minutes of commercials. Only 2 minutes, and it's back to the whatever the fuck we're going to give you next. 2 minutes of commercials. They come back from commercial. They play a song. A song you've heard a million times, a song you couldn't be more bored of, they play it. Now it's been 5.5 minutes of commercials and music. Still no morning show, guys. This is the morning show. And then Stryker and Klein come back. They give you one news story. LeBron James's son got caught smoking pot. Wow. I'm already over it, right? They stretch this into the entire morning show, which consists of taking listener calls. Let me tell you what you do at K-Rock when this is your show. 2 minutes of commercials, 3.5 minutes of music, and then listener calls? How unfunny are you that the decision from the program director is, what can we do to not allow these two to speak on the air? We will go commercials, music, and then I would rather hear from fake, you heard it, fake listener calls, I'm calling it out, than even hear from the two hosts. Here's the calls. So LeBron's son got caught smoking pot, and they can't say anything bad about anyone. So they're both like, he's a good kid. He's a good. Yeah. You've all met LeBron James's son. No, you haven't.
No.
He's a good kid. He's a good kid. But he got caught smoking pot when LeBron was out of town. He had a party at the house.
How old is this kid?
15.
That's when you start smoking pot.
Well, they all were saying that, to be fair. They're like, who cares? You know, but what are they going to say? Ground him. No, they can't even do that. They'll be canceled immediately. Racism. The world will cry. You know how it goes. So anyway, they can't say anything about anyone. It's unfunny. And then they immediately go into, so what's the first time you got busted?
Oh.
And then just audibly fake phone calls come in. Oh, the first time I got busted was, my parents found our weed. And the next thing it was, off to military school for me and my brother. And they're like, whoa. You know, and first of all, we've taken, and then this is how good it is. Whoa, no way. Military school seems harsh. And then the guy's all, they told us we were going to Disney World, but when we landed in Texas, we knew we weren't going to Disney World. And they're like, oh, no fucking way. And then they immediately go, how was the weed at military school? And he's all, actually, it was a bit better. Wow, K-Rocks, off to the next shit. Perfectly timed. Here's the deal. No, that didn't happen.
No,
that didn't happen.
No.
Oh, we caught you with weed. We're taking you to Disney World. Yeah, I got my ears on military school. That just didn't happen. It was a fake call. Secondly, K-Rock, we've taken calls on this show. We've had people on to tell us their shit themselves stories. It's never concise. It's never orderly. It's people talking over each other and yelling and screaming, and it takes us 15 minutes to get through the story. They're great, but it's not that. Fake calls, okay? Commercials and music. I need to take a drink because the vitriol is getting to me. You guys discuss. Is this a morning show to you, Daddy? Go for it.
No, well, it is exactly what you said. It's there's a program director. Here's the show. Right now in this climate, we are not saying anything about any which way we are leaning about anything. We are just going to get through this right now. Here's 20 songs. You can choose from these 20 songs to play. Play them all, then replay them. And I mean, that's obviously the show.
I know I'm putting you guys on the spot. These are two guys that probably need to really have everyone at K-Rock really like them a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm really making it tough right now. But I'm helping K-Rock. Maybe Stryker and Klein are hilarious. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell. Because again, and then after they did the fake phone call, guess what it was? Right back to the two-minute promise. Come on back with the song. More listener calls. Not a lot of talk going on that morning show, guys. So radio's gone. It's over. If you turn it on, you will hear one of three songs. If you turn on the morning show, you're not even getting a morning show. I don't know what happened. I don't know where we go from here. I don't know how to fix this. The best I can do is continue to call out the problem and hope that I get hired and Duddy and we take over and we just say, we're going to do what we do, and then we're immediately fired and canceled.
Yeah.
I think I'm back to Stryker and Klein. So I don't know if there's any way to fix this, but what I can do is I can roll right into a This Song Sucks. Play that drop.
This song suckity-doo.
All right. Yes. Okay. Now we're back. Yeah. Dude, full disclosure. We took a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got really intense. You guys really got wild, too. You guys got crazy.
Jake says, oh, man, my throat's really getting dry. Maybe this fan's making it dry. And I had to remind him of his 20-minute rant.
Oh, was that it?
And that's probably why your throat was dry.
Yeah, well, you guys were really hurling some arrows at K-Rock there. Danger for you guys with the future.
I have nothing bad to say about
them. Yeah, that was, got dark. But I brought them back to the light with a little pep talk and just a little analysis on home life. And I think we got to some things and we cured it. But I'm glad we got through it here. Everyone's better and happy and stoked, except for...
Uh-oh.
Everyone's favorite lovable San Diego trio, Blink 182. Yeah, Blink 182 shall be featured on this week's This Song Sucks. Now, look, as someone who's written a lot of sucky songs, I think I'm more than qualified to point out the suck in other people's music. And Blink doesn't suck. Blink 182 doesn't suck. They're awesome. We all love Blink. They make us laugh. They make us remind us of our childhood. If you were children when we were, they were a lot of fun for a long time. And then all of a sudden, Blink-182 tried to get serious and heavy, everyone's favorite. You know, when a comedian decides, oh, I want to be a serious actor now. And you're like, awesome, just do Ace Ventura again, you know. Not calling anyone out, or you know what I'm saying? Like, it can work for some people. Robin Williams was great in Good Will Hunting. All right, not the point. You guys get what I'm saying, though. Funny becomes serious, and it's okay. But this song is not okay. This is I Miss You. Okay? This is I Miss You. Everybody knows this song. Hello there. The angel from my nightmare, the shadows in the background of the morgue. You guys all remember, right? The guy who's barely awake singing the first verse of this song. It's everyone's favorite Blink-182 song, right? What, are you hating on me right now? No,
I'm loving on you. I can't even deal with that first line, Jake.
Before we even get to the first line, though, I'm going to let you go off on this. I said this kind of before. I brought this song to the table and I said, let's have a listen, guys. And to be fair, Frank did not say that this song sucks. Okay, Duddy agreed with me on the suckery, Frank. I don't know how he feels. We're going to find out, though. We're going to force him into a yes or no if it sucks very quick. He probably is personally friends with these guys and friendships are going to be over here today. But we're going to get to your opinion. This is a song that I'm convinced, everyone go back and listen, I feel like they were just fucking about. They were warming up. They were tuning their instruments. And they were, someone said, gung, ding, gang, again, shake, gung, gung, gang, again. And Travis Barker, you know, he says, dooms, dooms, cast, 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 cast. Of course, because everyone who's ever played drums would do that right there, you know, and then the ding, dang, again. And they were just getting warmed up. And then they're like, all right, we're going to let us know when you want to go into take one. And someone recorded it and said, hey, that little thing that you did there, I like that. I know this because the entire song does that. It never changes. It never switches. It goes nowhere, this song. It starts here. It ends here. It travels zero. So it was obviously a thing in between a thing. And it's a hit. So it was a genius little thing. I'm not saying the groove isn't good. It is. But it never goes anywhere. So the first singer comes in and he says, you know, hello there, the angel from my nightmare, the shadow in the background of the morgue. Duddy has problems here.
It's just like, how hard are you trying to like write like deep lyrics? You're like, the angel from my nightmare, the shadow in the background of the morgue. Are you in a morgue?
Well, it paints a good picture. So here's the deal with me. The first verse doesn't bother me as much as it may bother you. It's the second verse.
Okay, Jake, this, the unsuspecting victim of darkness in the valley. What?
We can live like Jack and Sally if we want. This is what I've decoded here. They lived in San Diego. I'm assuming they lived in a suburban area of San Diego, and there is kind of a general malaise over your lifestyle sometimes when you live in these suburban areas where I don't know how to say it. It's like life is boring as fuck. You just want to get out of the valley. And everyone's house looks the same, like Jack and Sally. I'm wondering if this is a family death of some sort. And he's seeing them in his nightmare. And they were bored in the valley. There was the unsuspecting victim of darkness in the valley. I'm thinking like a depression. Here's the thing in the valley. You have a little bit of money, but you're not rich. You're definitely not poor. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to blame your boredom on or your possible depression because you have it good. You have a truck. You go to the river a couple times a year. You might go and ski once in a while, right? Mm-hmm. Your husband's in construction. Everything, the bills are paid, but you're not happy. You're in the valley. You live like Jack and Sally. That's what I'm getting from this. I can. That might be me extracting diamonds from a, you know,
I can actually help you because I remember when the song came out.
Oh, he's got facts.
And I think it's close to accurate. When the song came out, they talked about Travis, the drummer, actually had a love of the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
So they worked in. That's Jack and Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas, have Halloween on Christmas. So those are the Nightmare Before Christmas references that somehow I know Travis loved that movie in Disneyland with the Haunted Mansion when it transfers to that. So somehow that influenced some of this. So maybe that clears up some of that stuff. That's really all I know about it lyrically.
Okay.
If you tie in a night before the first verse again, I was always like, okay, I can kind of hear, you know, what happened was, you guys, okay, I was just driving in the van, turned it on, K-Rock came on, and I listened now out of fascination to radio, and this song came on. And I kind of realized right away that I'm like, oh yeah, it just does this beat the whole time. This is kind of boring. And then the first verse was a little shitty, but when the second verse hit, so everybody wait, this is, we're warming up. We're warming you up for what really, really sucks. And I love that you brought some sort of facts to the table, because Duddy and I bring next to none.
That's okay. You're like, okay.
Because look, and you know, you're fine, mean, we'll have Halloween on Christmas. I really thought that was a douche line. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, but now that you say that, I'm like, no, not a douche line. I just don't understand. And, you know, we'll wish it never ends. Maybe he didn't want the movie to end. I don't know. Okay, well, what other? Fine. And then, miss you. Right, again, it's just a jam they were playing in between songs. This isn't supposed to be a song. They were shocked when this was a hit.
Yeah.
That was one of those ones. That's the single. All right, I thought it was the one about anal sex, you know, probably with them. I don't know the album. But anyway... The song continues to creep and you're bored, but you continue on, because it's like when Metallica cut their hair and changed. You're like, you're interested, but it's not good any longer. It is, because it's Metallica, but it's not good. That's what this was. It's no longer fun. We're not having fun anymore. This is terrible, but Metallica cut their hair, so we want to hear in Blink who's serious now. Then... it still makes you feel like everything's serious. You had the low voice and you're feeling fucking somber. These guys are deep with their bangs in their face. Everyone's buying into it. Then the second verse comes in. And this is Tom DeLonge now, right?
Yes.
Who we all know is a nutter at this point. We'll get back to that. It's shocking the way he attacks his verse. It's a shocker. You go... the fucking disappearing nightmares and foggy shit and all around the lawn. You're picturing the valley. I think those are the lyrics, right? And then old Tommy comes in. Where are you? Whoa, what the fuck, dude? You gotta warn us with that. You don't just, where are you? Like coming out of the bushes, dude, like a nightmare creature. And then the next line doesn't even grammatically, he's not even trying. Where are you? And I'm so sorry. And he's like British, kind of, but he's not. That's the real issue here. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight. And he's British again. And where did he come from? You're on Halloween on Christmas and you're just in between houses. Just where are you? The scare of the year with Tom DeLonge coming out of the bush. I would love to hear just the vocal track. Oh, they list someone in a studio. Solo that vocal real quick. Where are you? Like, hi, do what?
He did an interview recently, I think, for All Press, and he talked about when people call him, they'll say, hello there, or they'll like reference that, like, to this day.
When they call him, or
voicemails, whatever, they'll do both voices.
Where are you?
Been the comical, probably.
So we're not alone. So I love this. So I like to think that he did it on purpose to fuck with everyone, and he is... potentially a genius or lunatic. We'll get to that later. Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight. I need somebody and always. Who taught him words? This is definitely, I think he did get abducted by aliens and lived on an alien planet for a long time. His English is off in an alien.
Maybe an alien
wrote these lyrics
and actually sang it. Alien was there and it wasn't him.
Oh my God.
Like it could be true.
He wrote it out. Like, where are you? He didn't have the, I'm so sorry. I cannot say. He wrote it out right, but the alien.
Yeah.
They're trying to be human. And I'm so sorry. Improper use of and, but you're from Mars. We digress. Yeah. So the six strange dark. You know, comes creeping in so hauntly every time. But, you know, these lyrics, fine. They don't make sense. They're alien. They're crazy. It's nuts. It sets him up for his future of an alien thing. But this is the lyric that I've always loved since day one. Okay, first of all, none of this makes sense here. And as I started counting the webs from all the spiders. So he's not saying spiders, really. He's saying the webs.
Yes.
Catching things and eating their insides. The webs don't eat their insides. The spiders might. But...
the webs from all the spiders.
The webs catch the spiders. The spiders then weave another thing around them. Right, sure. Yes. So again, you know, maybe an alien misunderstanding. But this is my favorite. Catching things and eating their insides. This is the next line. Someone wrote this line and this passed and it made it onto the song and it made it into our world. Like indecision to call you. That's like something that you're saying when you don't know what the word is to say. You know, like, I didn't know, it's like indecision to call you. You know, that's like when someone doesn't know. He wrote it, and they did it, and he did it a bunch. Like, indecision to call you, and hear your voice of treason. You know, so I don't know what he's talking about. Do you have facts on this one?
I don't.
Nothing on this one.
Well, so he's saying that the indecision to call her is eating his insides, like the spiders from previous line.
Fuck. He's now, I think I'm dumb now. And he's the best. This could be true.
No, this is terrible.
No, he's dumb. So, like, indecision to call you. So, keep in mind, I'm making fun of this. That's my favorite line. Who else would ever write that?
Nobody.
Like, indecision to call you. And I get what he's saying. Everyone's held a phone and been like, It's a movie trope,
yeah.
Right? People are like, hi, Mr. Johnson. I'm so glad that you're going to take me for this job. And, you know, they're like, oh, no. They practice calling. They're indecision to call you. The spiders, Duddy, they're eating their insides.
Yes.
I'm starting to think he's a fucking Van Gogh. He probably is going to cut off his ear and send it to me. I accept. Yeah. Anyway, this song is weird as fuck. And this is where it gets bad. The rhythm hasn't changed. The rhythm doesn't change. This was just a 4-bar loop that they fucked off on in between songs. And someone heard it and said, that's dope. And they looped it for 3 potentially minutes. Yeah. And someone came in and they said, this sounds somber. And they wrote all the shit that they wrote. The producer's the star here because nothing's happening really too much. Nothing's making too much sense. There's the shock of the, where are you? It's an M. Night Shyamalan level twist when you get there because you've been lulled to sleep. And then, where are you? You're like, okay, it's a new movie now. And the words get weird. And then the song doesn't change. So after this crazy lyrical mess right here, spoken at a voice that, you know, Gollum is more soothing at this point. Okay. Don't waste your time on me. You know, you're already, everyone knows the voice inside my head. Yeah. I miss you. They do that 8 times and then they leave town. In between it, a violin cello orchestra plays. Now, I have not checked this out. I haven't looked into it. I don't know. I believe off just what I heard on the radio once a few days ago when I cited the song sucks. I believe it is the same producer that produced the Green Day's first song,
when 100%.
Green Day did this twist, and potentially same cello line, because that's all that happens. Probably. All of a sudden,
the time of our lives. Yeah.
Yes, I hope you have the time.
Every graduation
so
ever.
Every band's got the switch. Sum 41's a fun band. I don't remember them switching. They keep it fun all the way through. I could be wrong. But this is the switch, right? This is where Blink-182 started smelling their own farts a little bit, everybody, and started taking themselves a little seriously. And that turned into Angels and Airwaves, which had some interesting things going on about it, but was hyper pretentious. Dude, I saw them live once, and here's one thing I don't like. When you tell the crowd that this is a special moment that they're in, they kept going, this is a special time and we're all here right now and all of you should be understanding the world is coming in on an oyster and the vibes are here and we're about to. And I just kept going, dude, play a fucking song already. So they started to get that way here. And then we watched the travel.
Oh.
Now I hear they've kicked out Tom DeLonge because of this verse.
Well, he's been out for a long time.
He has been.
Because of this verse.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's always funny to me too, Jake? Because me and Jared always say that we will never do this, but like, because we're 2 singers too, but we won't sing on a song together that's about a girl. So are they singing about the same girl or are they singing about different girls? Because, you know,
nobody knows what Tom's singing about here. Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I don't know. And then here's another thing. Here's another thing that's good. He never actually says head. He says yed. Listen to the song. Voice inside my yed. It's you can't hear head. It's not. It's yed. And I almost love it again, just like I love, like Indecision's a call you. It's like syllabically, it doesn't even line up. He has to rush the word indecision. You know, so I love the choice. I'm almost falling in love with the song as I make fun of the song, but you guys check it out. I think it's the same line as, what was that song from Time of Your Life?
Yes.
Yes. So, and again, that one gets played a lot at weddings, though. Not so much this one here. No. More of a funeral jam. Yeah.
That when this one gets played in the bedrooms of a very, very sad, like 13-year-old.
Yeah. We'll have to do the math on that and see if it's the same producer that we can blame for the ruin of both bands.
But all right, no, so let's see. I'm never going to have another song played on K-Rock.
No, I've never.
I'm never going to get to tour with Blink. That's
no,
for sure.
Well, I don't listen
anyone
to this
else
show.
You want to just destroy my chances on doing stuff with Jake?
Oh, God dang. You know, yeah, there's plenty, but we'll get to those in future episodes.
I'm for
you
sure
guys.
Not getting that huge Metallica tour that the Dirty Heads were going to
get.
Oh,
Metallica,
right?
They have a good sense of humor. You guys remember the whole Napster thing? Yeah. A joy to be around. All right. That was This Song Sucks. Play that drop. All right, boys. Okay. Have I made it kind of a little funky in here for us all today?
Jake, why don't we go ahead and give your vocal cords a little rest for a second?
Okay, that's probably
fair. Let's get into something a little more fun, a little more lighthearted, and let's give our guest a chance to talk there.
Ooh, Jesus, I know. And I involved, that was a lot. My head hurts. That's how hard I went in right there.
I'm stoked to be out of the house. I'll listen to your rants all day long.
Okay, thank you very much. You're a nice person and a good man. We need you on the show because Duddy's a real dick. All right, Dud.
Yeah.
What's coming up next, buddy?
Oh, man. So this is one of our older segments. We haven't actually had one of these in a while. I'm very, very excited about it. This is a scary zone.
Yes.
And Frank has a scary zone story for us. So let's get into it.
Yeah. I mean, I thought of right away. It's the only, I'd say, creepy paranormal experience I've ever had in my life. You know, with Street Drum Corps, who's this crazy Blue Man Group stomp percussion troop that I've had for 16 years that I just run it now, and we have all these troops out. We do our biggest event every year is Halloween. So we do all the Not Scary Farm and all the theme parks across America and Canada.
Awesome.
So I'm in haunted houses a lot, you know, when they're being built. And so that shit doesn't freak me out as much as like you would think, because I'm kind of just immune to it now. But when I was on tour with Street Drum Corps, we played, I'm sure you've played there. It's a known haunted venue, the Eagles Ballroom.
Oh, yeah.
It's across from the Jeffrey Dahmer Hotel.
Yep.
Like, there's just weirdness. And supposedly there was, like,
was
Nazi
that some rave
rallies
before? It was the rave, right?
Yes. It's the
yes.
Eagles
okay.
Ballroom, the rave.
Yeah,
yes.
Dude.
Multiple
yes,
venues
been
there.
Multiple creepy venues. Swimming pool at the bottom.
Yes. Yes. I've never been in there. But it was, you know, load-in time. And I'm in the general public restroom because, as we know, in the mornings in venues is the cleanest place to go. They're clean. No one's in there. I'm the only one in there. I'm finishing up in the stall, and I hear somebody walk in. I can see, you know, underneath who's, like, walking in, and I don't see any feet. And I hear somebody loudly come walking. It's echoing because it's a big, loud bathroom.
Yeah.
I open the door. There's fucking nobody in there, and I go to the door, and now it goes into the big ballroom where you could clearly see
if
someone was there, they'd be right there. There was fucking no one.
Wow.
And it just it creeped me out. It gave me a feeling like, okay, this is something. I don't know what it is, but something walked in and walked out, and it was nobody from the tour or staff because I would fucking see them.
Yeah.
And it was just what a creepy way to start the day. I think I stayed in the tour bus the rest of the day.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and that venue, it's a creepy old ass building, and it's known for just like right when you get there, like all the workers are like, yeah, this place is haunted. If you guys want, after the show, we'll take you on like a little haunted tour of the place. So like immediate, and it just has that feeling and that vibe when you're inside of it. You're like, yeah, this is old. Some weird shit has definitely happened here. And there's stories of weird shit happening there and people dying and it's haunted. So it's like, yeah, that would be creepy as
it is like a three-level place. And the bottom level is an old indoor swimming pool that is just trashed, graffitied to hell. This whole indoor swimming pool room is just broken and beaten and decayed, and it looks and feels very gross. On one of the, on the very first Dirty Heads tour, you guys played there, Sublime with Rome. I was there, and I remember John and I went out and hung out in that swimming pool room. Oh, yeah. Jared, John and I went up the elevator to the top that's supposed to be haunted. Very creepy. And you mentioned, Frank, the Jeffrey Dahmer hotel across the street. What that is Jeffrey Dahmer, you know, that's where he like killed some of his victims caught in that hotel.
He would go to the venue.
To this venue.
Take victims home to his house and kill them.
Yes. So there was a gay club that used to be in that venue, and he would go get like gay men and take them back to this hotel and freaking murder them.
And put
their
parts like in the, you know,
the fridge.
The fridge and stuff.
Yes.
It's just a weird, and I didn't go, I opted out of all those creepy, like I'll walk through a haunted house when it's, you know, dark at night and that, but I know it's all fake shit in there and this was built. But like that kind of shit, I'm out. We just when we were on tour on our headliner last fall, one of the venues somewhere in America, same thing. They were like, you want to come underground and do this tour? I was like, nope. And the crew went, they came back on the bus saying crazy shit. I was like, going to bed, I'm good.
I love that shit. So anytime we do any of those old venues, because there's a lot of venues that you'll play where they'll be like, dude, this place is haunted. Here's the story of why. And if you want, after the show, you know, we'll walk you through the fucking attics and shit and creep you out. And I always do it. And we're so dumb. This is what we do. We like download like the ghost detector app. And we're like, fucking one over there, bro. Oh,
that's genius.
It's like, wait, and also, if you're not into that, what a way to make your vibe weird. Because this is our home for the day. We go in the dressing rooms. We move our shit in. It's like, to have that feeling all day if you're not into it.
If you're just scared of that shit.
Some people are absolutely not. You know, when we were on tour with you guys the past summer, the Dirty Heads, when we had our three-day stay in wherever it was, Providence, Rhode Island, that was a super haunted hotel. The Belleville something. I think it's called the Belleville anyway. It was a very haunted hotel in Providence, Rhode Island.
Is that the one that, like, it was a mobsters and shit?
Yes. It's tall. It's got even creepy things in the windows upstairs that they hang out.
I stayed there, and the singer, I was touring at that time, this is a long time ago, with the new number two, which is George from the Beatles, his son Danny's band.
Oh, cool.
And he woke up in the middle of the night and freaked out, thought he saw somebody. I think he literally went to the bus to sleep after that.
Like, nope.
But he had an experience there, and I was like, it was all gangster, old school shit happening there.
Yeah,
whatever.
Lots of people dying.
They say that town is super mob run. They say even when we were there, even today.
Yeah,
it's like it's still very like the mob built that city. And there's old stories of all sorts of shit. I think it's the Belleville, area.
That
so you can
familiar.
Find it.
Yeah, it does.
But Red, who's a guy that, you know, our listeners know, Red, he would not. We were there for 3 days. I think it was three nights we were there. We had like a big off days, you know, a bunch of off days. And he would not sleep in the hotel. Never did. Slept in the bus by himself, like 2 miles from the hotel under a freeway overpass where our buses were parked.
I remember that.
Worse than the fucking hotel. It looked like Judgment Night,
anyone
remembers
been in
that
some
movie.
Creepy overnight stays in the bus before where you're like, damn, this is the perfect setting for a horror film.
Yeah.
Most cities, they can't park them, so they have to go.
You're out on the outskirts, and sometimes you're literally parked underneath like a freeway overpass sitch where there's just like bum towns right near you, and you're just like, cool, we're just out here in this bus, just look
giving
at us.
It out to anyone too. Like last summer when we were under there, we started talking about it. I was like, there needs to be a horror movie. This could be the premise.
Yeah,
you're a band on tour. You wake up in the middle of the night to go take a piss or something, and one of the guys walks outside and realizes we're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
And maybe you just see a couple people that notice your bus a little bit off in the distance. You get back inside, and then you realize there's lurkers. And then that's the movie. In this tour bus, and there's lurkers everywhere. You got
to
get through the night.
Yeah. It's like usually at a lot of venues, too, like parked in front of the Warfield in San Francisco. It's like you need to bump bus call up and get out.
You need to get out.
Because you hear people trying to get in the bays, junkies, and whatever. It's like, I don't want to be sleeping on here.
There's some sketchy moments.
Quick story, talk about the craziest shit that's ever happened on tour. We were just doing our big European tour, January, February. We had a day off before the Paris show. So the whole band, we get dumped in Paris. Our bus has to go somewhere else. He actually had, like, because there's crazy laws about driving and shit and brakes that you need in Europe. He was under one of those 24 hours. He couldn't touch the truck semi driver. So he was in, because you can't, obviously, in Paris, put a semi. Mm-hmm. He was in a truck stop for 24 hours in the morning, goes to the truck. He's pulling into the arena in Paris, and he's pulling into the security gate to get, you know, to the loading dock and shit, and starts hearing in the truck, in the semi truck. What the fuck?
No.
So venue security, they all open the back of the semi truck, and like 15 migrants come running out of the back of our semi truck. And they're all yelling, "We're free!" And they go running off. And we saw the surveillance footage of it. So what happened is there's crazy shit going on in France, because these migrants are coming over from Africa or whatever on inflatable rafts. And they get into France. They pay the mafia. It's this whole thing to get them onto trucks and you know, illegal things to go into UK, where they have better chances at survival and all this shit. So our semi truck had UK plates, so they thought it was going to UK. The fucking truck never left France where they were. So these guys spent 24 hours locked in. So these guys professionally unlock you. They put them in with just a backpack with supplies, lock them back in. They hope that they're going to be on the ferry or whatever and wake up in UK. No, they didn't even leave. So they spent 24 hours in our semi truck. Thank God none of them, you know, deceased or anything crazy.
Yeah.
They went through all of our cases, not looking to steal gear, for survival.
Yeah.
So, you know, your wardrobe cases are always the last thing on the truck.
Yeah.
All of our wardrobe, there's some stylish looking. Like, thank God, you know, my shit, because I barely play in anything because I'm a drummer, and that's not going to keep you warm. But like all the dudes, stage clothes, boots, Doc Martens, like everything gone. So, you know, it's loaded on a big sold out Paris show. Our crew has to deal with spread out gear all over the fucking truck. You know, my guys didn't have stage clothes. It was just a weird, but it was also like a sad thing to see, like, this is what's going on.
And they didn't even make it.
No.
They didn't even
make
it.
They're all going to get caught.
They're going to realize soon. They're going to be like, fuck, we're still here.
It's just crazy. We live in a world that this shit's still happening and going on. It was like more of a sad thing than like, who cares about your fucking chicken falling, but.
Yeah.
Europe is a funky one too. Everything is heightened and a little scarier in Europe because we're just not from there. And it's, you know, here you're surrounded by a bunch of states and everything agrees on a general law. Over there, it's just like, dude, you're in a different country every damn day and you don't know the laws or the language sometimes or the style or the anything could fucking happen.
Yeah.
We've protests all seen going on in France every weekend.
Yeah.
Since last summer, we're in some small cities and there's big protests going on. And, you know, here it's obviously now big time.
Yeah.
But over there, I was experiencing it there that literally we were going to do it. We did a pop-up club show the night after our arena show, and there was a big protest going on in the street by the venue, and our crew was loading in, and someone threw like a concussion sound, and it didn't have shrapnel or anything to hurt, but it was like a loud enough sound that our crew freaked out. Our fans were waiting out front. They threw everybody in the venue to make sure they were safe. And we're like, we're not playing the show. This is not safe.
Cool.
And of course, the promoter's like, this happens all the time. He wants that show. We're like, dude, we're not doing the show.
Good.
This is not safe.
Yikes.
We're out of here. And we bounced. We had to leave. We were just like, this is not safe and cool right now.
Yeah.
You're like, we all saw the Eagles from death metal thing. We're fucking out of here.
Some 41's merch guy was murdered in that.
Same guy.
Venue. So we're very sensitive to
all
of that. And like, you know, when we went back to Paris after all this happened, you know, months later, we played a theater two nights in a row, and like the venue was patrolled by military with machine guns, which that feeling, it's like, this is a fucking rock show. This is what it's become now. And
that's,
it's like,
that's,
you know,
terrifying.
Not to be dark or anything, like, now that we're home, like, I've been working on, like, okay, with my wife, let's like really look at our insurance policies and things and home insurance and shit that we had to kind of rush through because I was on the road. And I'm like, life insurance is so important, because I'm like, you would never think, we go to bed almost every night in a moving bus.
Yeah,
you know,
I always think about that.
We're flying
so
everywhere.
Gnarly, yeah.
It's concert venues are having mass shootings and things now. Like, it's kind of like a high risk job.
Yeah.
To think about. So I'm like, I need to make sure my insurance policy, God for freaking bid, my family and my children are taken care of and whatever. Like, it's dark shit to even have to think about, but it's the world we live in. Who would have thought a rock show was not a safe place to go.
And you feel like when you're on stage, you're safe, you're all good, but it's like, not anymore.
I don't know if you guys have, you know, like with our security team and shit, we have like a little briefing every night and there's arrows. We call it the, oh shit, out. Where's the out? Because, you know, sometimes you walk, you stumble in these venues, you're not paying attention.
You get lost so quick.
If there's an emergency, where do I go? We actually have a quick little chat with our head of security, and then there's green or pink gaff tape arrows to the fucking bus.
I like that. Smart, that's a good idea.
You should do that.
I'm going to start doing that. I like that.
They do not have the oh shit talk.
No, we don't have the oh shit talk.
Well, who even knows when we get, you need to have an oh shit line out of the fucking drive-in.
Yeah.
I would love to have that meeting again. That means we're doing shows again.
Can't wait for the next oh shit meeting.
Yeah.
That means things are happening. Well, dude, that's a perfect segue. Those are all horrifying stories, even the real life horror that we kind of got into at the end there. And all worthy of a scary zone. Glad to bring that back. And that leads us perfectly into, I say this about every segment, and it's true every time. Yeah. Everyone's favorite. You love it. It's your favorite. Here it comes. Conspiracy query. Duddy, tell them what this is.
This is a conspiracy query. This is not a conspiracy theory. I'm not saying I came up with this. I'm not saying I do or don't believe it. I'm just simply asking if you believe in conspiracy queries.
All right. Well, let's see. What do you have for us today?
We have a fun one. It says that, why singing happy birthday hand washing song can spread COVID-19?
This comes from the New York Post.
So we all know. They told us. Okay, we all got to wash our hands for 2 minutes. If you're washing them, it's got to be 2 minutes. The happy birthday song takes 2 minutes to sing. So they told us all to sing the happy birthday song whilst brushing our teeth. Well, it says not to be a party pooper, but the happy birthday song may be the latest COVID casualty. Despite early advice to sing happy birthday while hand washing to ensure sufficient cleansing, health experts are now warning that the song may be a particularly potent vehicle for the spread of the COVID-19. Wow. Here we go.
Research, we can't get anything right.
Come on. Researchers at Lund University in Sweden observed the trajectory of aerosols emitted by 12 people singing 12 different songs and discovered that the consistent heavy lyrics such as the hard P's and B's of the birthday song send comparatively more droplets into the air.
Wow. So first of all, Sweden researchers... best researchers
best
on earth,
researchers,
you can trust
and
that.
Obviously the most bored researchers. But we
12
will go.
People though, and 12 songs, they really threw out a net.
Different restrictions have been introduced all over the world to make singing safer, said Jacob Landahl,
associate
professor of aerosol technology. While previous case studies have revealed super spreader events seemingly caused by singing, super spreader. I love that.
Oh, I love it. And this too. This is my husband, Jacob, you know, whatever, Lundahl. He's a professor. Oh, a professor of what? Yeah, aerosol technology.
Yeah. Pardon me? This is the best part, Jake. Here's the next thing.
Is he really a professor?
It says, while previous case studies have revealed super spreader events seemingly caused by singing, here we go. At the end, it quotes, there has been no scientific investigation of the amount of aerosol particles and larger droplets that we actually exhale when we sing, the author said in another statement.
Oh my gosh.
What? In one article, the article's only three paragraphs.
Yeah,
it's not
why we chose
it. In the first paragraph, it says, yes, for sure, we did all these studies on this.
Well, 12 people, 12 songs.
12 people, 12 songs, we did the studies. And then the last sentence is, there's really no scientific proof. We didn't really do anything.
So they're saying happy birthday has so many P's and so many B's in it, and P's and B's spit out more things. So danger. That's only if there's everyone in the bathroom with you as you're washing your hands, or in the mirror looking back.
Who's brushing their teeth just at people?
Yeah.
The only time we would have any of those interactions is us with our little children, because you're making sure they brush their teeth, right, our hands. But I'm not doing that.
No.
And especially now, everything is so segregated. Even at Whole Foods, there's like plexiglass
between
the sinks and, you know.
You could sing happy birthday to your cashier and it wouldn't matter. There's plexiglass.
Wait a second,
their house still, happy birthday. Is it hot enough, honey? To you.
I said brushing your teeth. We're talking hand washing. I don't know what I was talking about.
Daddy keeps going, who brushes their teeth? Nobody brushes their teeth and sings.
So they say that same thing like that's 2 minutes.
To brush their teeth,
but like you're singing in your head, obviously not. But washing your hand is different. I got those mixed up. But still.
Yeah, but still.
Who's really in their bathroom? Happy birthday. Like, you are a psychopath if you are in your bathroom washing your hands, singing happy birthday out loud.
These kids are going to think it's their birthday every day. Confusing.
Well, this is a fun one. I mean,
this is a fun one. I love when they tell you something. It's like, you know, eggs are good for you, and then eggs will kill you. Which one?
Which is it? Eggs? It's either. I just, you know, I guess we're just, do you believe that singing happy birthday spreads more aerosols than other songs?
Dude, I love it, dude. I'm feeling good. That made me have fun and feel good.
I will say, though, when people do sing happy birthday, it kind of makes you feel good, Jake.
Especially when it's your birthday, buddy. They do.
And speaking of feeling good, we have some sponsors on this show that make us feel great. And first and foremost, Koi CBD. We love this product. I talk about it all the time. Matter of fact, I've talked about it on every single episode ever because they've been our sponsor since day one. We love them and we love their product. I use it every single day. I've talked about it. I take the drops every morning. I love how it relaxes me a little bit without making me tired and just kind of gets you in the right mood to start the day. But recently, I've been loving we always talk about the balm. They have the rub-on balm. If you've got aches and pains in your joints or whatever, and I use it a lot on my hands. From playing guitar, sometimes my hands will get cramped up and whatnot. I put some of that balm on it. It's great. But recently I've been using, they got a new product. It's a roll-on, almost like an icy hot type roll-on, but it's packed with Koi CBD. Mm-hmm. It smells delicious. It like cools you, gives you a cooling effect, which is great, and it, like all their products, it works freaking amazingly. I've already given a couple bottles to friends, and I didn't bring you guys bottles again.
I'm the worst. Speak to me any
longer.
I'm
the worst, and I've gotten calls from the two people. I'm getting it at the two people. They've both hit me up and were like, dude, thank you so much. That should help me so much.
They said, dude, thanks, man. Jake's roll-on they were supposed to give him is, oh, my God. Jake will never know the feeling that I feel. The joy.
But honestly, man, if you are someone out there who's got like a joint aches and pains or whatever it is, and you're taking a lot of over-the-counter pain medicine, give CBD a try and give Koi CBD a try because it is the best, and I think you're going to love the effects, and it's much healthier for you. So go to KoiCBD.com and put in code FEELGOOD at checkout, and you will get 20% off your first order.
Slam bam!
That's right. And also, another sponsor is Plug-Ins Keychains. They have an amazing product called the Jack Rack. I've actually had one of these on my wall for like 2 years. My wife got it for me for like a Father's Day, I believe. And I love this thing. And what it is it's a key holder. And it comes with four keychains. You attach your keys to it, and they resemble a quarter-inch cable. And the Jack Rack resembles a guitar amp head. So you plug in the cable just like you would a guitar, but your keys are on it. You know where they are. Right when you get home, you plug it in. When you're leaving, you unplug it. It's an amazing product. And if you know anybody who plays guitar, who just loves music, period, such a rad gift. You will be a hero, I promise you. And if you go to pluginskeychains.com, and that's with a Z, pluginz.com, or keychains.com, and put in code DUDDYB at checkout, you will get 20% off every order.
Slam!
That is right.
That's right. And then real quick with our merch. I said it, I think, on the last couple weeks episode. At the end of this month, at the end of September, goodbye to all the existing merch. And that's at feelinggoodwithduddy.com. There's shirts, there's mugs, there's things, there's all sorts of stuff. It's all going away, never to be seen again, gone. There will be no merch for a little bit, nothing. And then we will present a new shirt to you. And that will be there for a limited time when it does come out. That's all future talk, but I'm just letting you know, you've got like one more week to get anything you may want on our merch site, and then gone forever, never to be seen again, forever. All right.
Yeah.
We did that.
We did that. And we are going to get into the Q&A right now, but one more quick little, guys. People have been asking me about the Bloody Duddy. Bloody Duddy's coming out. Already got the design. Red absolutely killed this one like he always does. We're going to start the pre-sale of those probably within a week or so, so look out for that. And also, there is lots of the old Feeling Good with Duddy merch that we took on tour with us, like leftover merch. I have it up on the Cutlass brand website right now, and it's like dirt cheap. It's like cost what we got it for, like shirts and hats and everything. It's like $10. So you can go over there if you want to pick up some of that old tour merch.
Things he's talking about is at the Cutlass website. The Bloody Cutlass Duddy tee is a Cutlass shirt.
Cutlassbrand.com.
And the old Feeling Good with Duddy merch. The old, old stuff. Not even the stuff that's on our website right now. The old, old. They're just offloading it over there at cutlassbrand.com.
So that is that.
That is it. So we are going to move in. We just got a few questions that we're going to answer today. But we also do have... You know, we always would talk about poop stories back in the day on the show.
I forgot about
this. And we asked Frank if he's got a did you poop yourself story. And he said no, but he does have little children at home. And Duddy and I are both fathers and we love him. So he does have a child poop story that we will go over right now before we get into those questions. So let's hear it, man.
Brand new father going our first road trip up to Northern California with our like Brixton was probably a month old. We go, and then we decide to do Big Sur and take the whole PCH way back. I'd never done that before. The whole way there, you know, sun was great, no issues. The way home, we literally leave Big Sur and we're driving and he has a blowout of all blowouts in the car.
Oh, yeah.
So we pull over to a truck stop and it was so bad that my wife is holding him out and I'm stripping him. We had to throw everything away. I'm stripping him, trying to wipe. It's a disaster and a half.
It's not cleaning up.
It's a disaster and a half. And
almost none of it was in the diaper still.
Was a dad pulls up to us, who's older now, older dad pulls up next to us and just looks at us. And he just looks at me and goes, ah, I remember those days.
Oh, like a movie scene.
Oh, my God.
We had a laugh and we're just like, you know. And then I think it happened again, but not that bad on that drive
Same
home.
Drive
it was
home.
One of those drives where we had to stop a lot of times to, you know, to nurse and all that. But it was just the first time because I never knew, like, you know, being a new dad when you're like, blowout, what is, like, how bad is
the baby? So much shit can come
out.
That's
what the diaper's for.
Yeah. Like, it was, I mean.
It comes out the sides, the top, the bottom.
The poor kid. Yeah.
Poor kid. Oh, man.
Yeah, that would trump anything that I can't even recall of myself or anything. And I was like. Probably people don't talk about kid stories on here because kids are the best with blowouts and all that.
Oh, my God,
Anyone who's had a kid has dipped their hands right into a soupy pile.
Oh, my God.
I mean, if you haven't, you're just lucky as heck.
Well, the first couple times, too, you're like, oh, my God. And then you just get used to it. You're like, whatever.
Don't even
care. I got some
care.
Shit on my hands.
Or just the having boys.
Yeah.
Them peeing on you and changing their diaper.
Yeah.
Totally.
Getting all over the bed, the wall. I had my we got him. Because his room was like nautical-ish themed. We had a Shepherd Fairy piece that he gave me to tie into the room. Right above the changing table. Worst idea ever. He pissed all over the frame. I was like, oh, man.
Either made that more valuable or trashed the reason. No, you'll never resell that. It's a personal item.
That's amazing.
Perfect, all because that gets us right into the shit show that is... Question and answer. Play the drop.
Questions. Ask us any question you want.
All right, we're back. Okay. And Duddy, we just got a few little bangers.
Just a couple.
Here.
Yeah, we got like four or five, and then we're donezies. The first one will come from Terry Phillips, and he said, "Did the cat come home or is
she
a goner?"
Oh. Wait, did you have a recent one, or was this...
No, this was the one from I talked about...
A long time ago.
Probably, I think on the Patreon page. So what, quick story, long story short, is I had a cat who was just a murderous cat, right? My house backs to a park. There's a lot of, like, ivy on the wall and things. So, like, we get all sorts of, like, rodents and possums and things rolling around. But what we also get a lot of in the park in the backyard is coyotes. You know, we live right near the wetlands, and I live near some golf courses. There's a lot of, like... open area near me, and the park that my house backs to has like a little pond with a lot of ducks that live in it. So at night, coyotes come to that park and it's just like a buffet, right? But also, if your cat's gone in that neighborhood, it's because a fucking coyote ate your cat, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, it's not funny actually, but I'll see like missing cat sign and you're like, dude, if your cat wanted to come home, it would come home.
I saw a missing cat sign in Idlewild last week. I'm like, you're in the mountains.
You're that cat ain't coming back.
Gone.
Cats know how to get back, and if they want to come back, they're coming back. So, and I had talked about it on one show where, well, he was an awesome cat, but what had happened is he had obviously found like a possum family just had babies, and he found this nest. So for like 5 days straight, I would wake up, and in the morning there would be just a newborn dead possum like right outside my back door.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen a baby like newborn possum, like look at it. It's actually fucking adorable. They're not like look it up, you'll see. So I saw these, so I was just like, holy crap, like you are such a murderous cat. And he's brought home so many more things. He kills stuff all the time. That's his favorite thing to do, is to kill stuff. So and then you know where this is going. He wasn't there anymore. It was a few days of I was doing the podcast, and I was saying he still hasn't come back. So to answer your question, Terry, no, the cat is a goner.
The cat's a goner. I think that the possum parents had enough.
Ooh, he came back for one more round, and they were like, nah.
Like, the mom was all, I'm a baby, but mommy possum, and then the dad, and then wham, and then bye-bye cat.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. I like that. I like that, man. That's a Shyamalan.
That's a Shyamalama ding dong.
Danielle Lindemolder says, Duddy, will there be any more Dirty Head skateboards made available on the DH website? I don't know off the top of my head right now, but I'm sure we will. We like making those, and they always seem to sell pretty decently. So I will say yes, but I do not have an answer of when. Mark Plante says, you guys are pretty good at the music thing, and I assume the barbering thing, but what do you really suck at besides fantasy football? Ha! My team's in second place. And what skill would you love to master if you had the time? What do I suck at the most? Honestly, there's one thing that I suck at so bad, I will never be good at this. I wish more than anything I was good at this, because when I watch people do this, I want to be able to do it, but I just cannot. I may be the worst one of these in the entire world, and that isn't like an artist. Like, I cannot draw. I suck so bad. I can barely draw a stick figure. Like, it's fucking terrible. I wish my brother's like really good at it.
We have always made fun of Duddy's art.
It's so bad.
Things like even our mom and dad.
Oh, it's just like terrible. I don't get it. I don't get how it could be so bad. And I really wish I was good at it. Jared's like an amazing artist.
Dave's really good.
Just so red. You know,
Red's awesome.
Tyler, even like, there's so many people in my life that are great artists, and I fucking am so terrible at it.
Daddy's bad, and I'm okay. Like Jared and Dave and Red, those guys are good.
Yeah,
they're way better than me. So there's like a spectrum. Daddy's the worst ever. I'm acceptable.
I'm on the spectrum, if you know what I mean.
Acceptable.
When it comes to
and those guys are like, holy shit, how'd you draw that? You know, like that is funny. I don't know that. You know, there's a bunch of shit I suck at. You know, but. One thing that I've always just thought was funny, because I think of myself as athletic. I surf, I skate, I played a bunch of sports. I'm usually decent at most athletic endeavors that I try. And this is so stupid, but I have never once had a hula hoop stay up. I cannot. I have tried, like, I want to be able to do this.
Really?
Yeah, like, because it just frustrated me. I remember when we were kids, because our buddy Randy, his sisters would always hula hoop, and we'd all mess around, and Randy could do it. I think I remember you. It was
I have, like,
everyone
I had baseball booty,
it.
So, like, I got something for it to hang on. You don't
Bro,
got much.
It's like, it's a joke. So even more recently that we encountered a hula hoop at someone's house, and I'm like, I'm going to learn today. Cannot do it. Cats, 4-year-olds are doing it. So it was a thing that I'm just like, dude, I will never, ever fucking do this. That's just one of a myriad of things.
Frank, anything that you suck at that you wish you didn't suck at?
Any sport.
Any sport? Just not an athlete?
Like, the coordination for drumming is, you know, left and right and all this shit that's really hard.
Yeah.
Sports?
Nope.
It all goes out the window.
That's just so funny. Yeah, because you look at a drummer and you're like, oh, that's an athletic guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just fucking winging shit all around on time. Like, you got to be... You know, it seems
you
like
would
you
would
think pretty
like
athletic.
Football, basketball, lacrosse, just no go.
That's hilarious. Oh, man.
You're really good at drums, so fuck, you know.
Good enough. Yeah. You know what? And there's, you know, many athletes out there, like, I wish I was good at, like, I wish I was a musician. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With yin, there's yang.
Better to be really good at something and okay, you know, than to be just like, I'm passable at everything and I'm not great at anything, you know.
Just like, we got to do one more.
Yeah.
We got one more. Last question, guys. Wait, you didn't answer my question. There's no time. Brian Francisco Molina says, yo, Daddy, it's been a while since we've heard any one-liners from Jack. Oh, my God. Is he still on a roll with those? Also, me being a father of a two-year-old, I've been having a lot of proud dad moments. What are some memorable proud dad moments you guys have had? Wow, that's funny. Jack is always on fire. My son, if you, it's been a while since I've done a Jack quote. He's had some amazing ones. Frank, like my son, he'll say stuff sometimes. Like he did this one where he's like, we were out on a boat and he was jumping off the roof. And he's like, the real question is never give up. And he jumped off the boat. You're like, that sounds great, but what does that mean?
That almost makes sense.
You know, he said one time too, he said, Dad, he was doing something weird. You know, he goes, Dad, on a scale of 1 to 10, how many people do this? You're like, well, what? Like, you can't really answer that, but it sounds amazing, right? Awesome. So he hasn't had any, like, crazy Jack, like, inspirational quotes like that in a bit, but he did say something the other day. We were talking about, like, a juicy booty, and he was like, oh, yeah, like, Mom, she's got a water booty. A water booty. A little spanker butt. Like, ooh, water booty.
A water booty.
Water booty is a juicy booty. That's his
that
word.
That could be a hip-hop
song. Yeah, water booty, water booty. So that's that. And any proud dad moments?
Body,
yeah, many. I will say, and this is actually
coming
almost
in
like
Porky. That was another that one. Was, drove the lane with the basketball. Coming in Porky.
Coming in Porky. no, but proud dad moments. Let's see here. With Jack, honestly, I've been super proud of him. Every time I go right now to his jiu-jitsu, and at the end they like spar and they roll around. He's just come so far in this year that he started this jiu-jitsu, and I just watch him in there, and he loves it so much. He tries his freaking heart out every single time. He leaves that place just red-faced and dripping sweat, and he's just like, even when he like beats the guy or vice versa, they get right back up, they high-five, they hug, and they go right back at it, and I'm just like, yes, I freaking love it every time. And with my daughter, this is on like a little bit more of a somber one, but my kid's great grandma just recently passed away, like not recently, but I'd say maybe 5-6 months ago. And my daughter wanted to really play a song at the funeral, like at the, you know, reception before the funeral, or what do they call that? The service, I guess. Yeah. So, and this was in great grandma, Mexican family. So there was 200 people at least at this, in this building, and full, and her name was Gloria. So she learned the song Gloria on ukulele, and she sang it like as right when everyone sat down, like first thing, my daughter played and sang the ukulele and sang Gloria. And it was so amazingly beautiful. And she did not miss a fucking note. Like, you did not hear a sound the entire time she was playing it. And when it was, when she was done, you just heard the whole room just go like, whoa, just like, we like took the air out of the room for a second. Yeah. You felt it. It was like, damn, that was powerful. That was a huge proud moment for me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I
mean, your proud moment is you saw how much your son could actually shit. And that was your proud moment.
I mean, as a father,
you're like, that's a lot of shit. That's my boy.
Yeah, so I don't know. Little Jack, dude, with little Rocky Boy, it's the skateboarding stuff right now, probably. It's because he's so young. He can't talk yet. He, you know, he's just learning how to do most things. But the fact that I was able to get him to ride a skateboard, like that was the coolest thing. I let go of his hand, and this dude just goes down.
Cruises.
He cruises. You can see the video if you go to my Instagram. It's a few videos back. But this was like at a year and 2 months, and this dude is standing on a skateboard and just sending it down a thing. And I'm just going, stud. But, you know, hopefully he'll have some awesome moments too, like your kids coming up, dude.
Anything else?
You want to shout? Now you've told us about your son shitting himself. You want to give?
Your kids are very young. What, 2 and 4?
2 and 5?
2 and 5.
Almost 2, almost 5.
Okay.
Almost 2, almost 5. But yeah, just in, you know, these couple months that we've been home, you know, I would have missed all these moments. I got to see my oldest. He wanted his training wheels off, and he was determined. And a week into it, he's cruising, riding a bike. I got to see that and be part of that and help him, which was amazing.
That's a big one, because that's scary at first. You're just like letting them go, and you're like, they're going to fall a bunch of times right now.
Totally. And he was just so determined. I mean, even yesterday, we went for a walk, and I live in a canyon, so there's no flat roads.
Yeah.
So it's all uphill or downhill. And it's the first time he's ever taken his bike without training wheels. And he went down one big hill a little too fast, and he ate shit and got right back up. you know, with a little bruise and all, but he's, you know, and did it again. I was like, dude, I'm proud of you for A, being brave to do that, getting back on it.
Yeah.
And I've watched him, I've taken him to swim class every week. He's swimming now.
That's awesome.
He's learning to read, you know, and that was pretty proud. I FaceTimed with my mother the other night and he read to my mom.
That's amazing.
So like, this is the shit that I would have missed. And then the baby, he's talking now, like, you know, which is crazy. And he's about to be two. So I'm grateful to have these moments with these little kids. That is so important. And they need their fucking dad, man. Yeah, they need their dad. Totally. It's like, it's, you know, yeah, before we had kids, this is what we've done our whole life. It provides for them. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they need their father figure. They need their dad there. For this shit. Yeah. And our wives are the rock stars.
Yeah.
To do this on their own, to take care of a home, pets, children, like cooking, cleaning, like it's a lot. And I'm grateful that I can help my wife out now because she's working too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just that real 50-50 partnership that I've missed out a lot on. So it just makes me, when I leave again, even more appreciative of what our wives do. You know?
It's very, very true, man.
Well, great note to go out on.
Yeah, that was great, man.
You guys were really negative on this episode.
Yeah.
And that's really nice that we can bring it around.
I've never seen you lose your voice during a rant before. Wow.
Dude, I was fired up.
Anything else? Like, where can people find you if they want to...
Just at Frank Zumo on all socials and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right on. We'll put links to like your new music coming out and all that when this comes. And
solo project coming out Friday. Everyone get ready.
And by the way, the owner of K-Rock is waiting by your car right now.
Yeah. Oh my God. Get to thank me, dude, for fucking
what you didn't know is they call him Striker because his stand-up game, dude. You're about to get fucking lit.
I'm about to get struck.
All right, guys. We love you, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, everybody.
Peace.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.